Evening Light. Back at Tired House, Susie and I decide to sit outside to make the most of the soft, early evening light. We can hear the songbirds singing their symphony from their posts in the garden, each bird playing their own part to create a whole orchestra. We tune in to a pair of chaffinches on either side of us, performing one after the other, each with a descending scale. Then, a song thrush takes to the stage, beginning his performance from a branch in a tree to our left. His song is in couplets. He's a rhyming poet. This exuberant performance lasts for a good 10 minutes. Then he stops, takes flight, only to reposition himself in the foliage straight ahead of us, centre stage, where he begins his music again, his second movement. In Gaelic, the song thrush is called Smaurach. There's a traditional folk rhyme that imitates the sound of this bird poet. I learnt it from a field recording made by John Lorne Campbell of Annie Johnston, who was a schoolteacher on the Isle of Barra. It was recorded in 1938, which must have been while John and Margaret were still living there, just before they moved to Canna.
Gotik, gotik, gudinier, gudinier, jantinier, jantinier, arancroy cork, arancork, agus mioclesh, mioclesh.
The English translation is, John, son of little Mary, come home, come home. What to? To your dinner, what dinner? Hard rye bread, oat bread, and way with it, and way with it. Be quick, be quick. I find it astounding how accurate this rhyme really is in evoking the sound of the song thrush. I like to think that the process of the person who wrote it is similar to that of someone making a field recording of the bird. Both begin with listening, but the first uses language instead of a microphone. The essence of the sound is captured in the rhythms and phrases of the words, and the person who originally composed this poem must have been a very good listener. In an oral culture, before things were written down, we really had to be good listeners. Our songs and our stories, everything was transmitted by word of mouth. Did this skill also mean by necessity that we were naturally once more aware of the sounds around us? Perhaps we have lost this skill, or perhaps we're just out of practice, but I wonder if the act of consciously listening to the sounds around us can help us to reconnect and engage with our environment in a deeper and more meaningful way. The composer Pauline Oliveros speaks of hearing as the primary sense organ, placing emphasis on the voluntary conscious nature of listening over the involuntary nature of hearing. Her philosophy of deep listening redefines listening as being an art in itself. She states, "Deep listening is listening in every possible way to everything possible to hear, no matter what you are doing. Such intense listening includes the sounds of daily life, of nature, of one's own thoughts, as well as musical sounds. Deep listening represents a heightened state of awareness and connects to all that is there. In order to listen deeply, it's necessary to find stillness, to feel comfortable with sitting peacefully and simply listening." When Jeff makes his field recordings, he will set up his equipment, press record, and then leave it running for long stretches of time whilst he sits patiently and listens. It is a quiet and peaceful form of engagement. And this listening practice, this way of engaging, seems to influence the way he interacts with his environment around him on a daily basis. Over the past couple of days, I've noticed how aware he is of the sounds around him. When he hears a bird, he can pinpoint where it is coming from and what bird is making the sound, even though he can't always see it. Essentially, he uses his ears to spot birds. What I'm interested in is whether this kind of listening can be an antidote to some of the realities of our fast-paced contemporary culture. We're so used to being constantly bombarded with streams of information, images, text, and sound, that it is easy for our experience of the world to become mediated through these objectifications, it's so easy to become passive. But in a landscape like this, how can one be passive? Even if I'm sitting still, I'm inside it, I'm surrounded, I'm immersed in sounds and changing light. I feel the sun and the wind on my skin. I can smell the wild garlic in the air. I look out across the harbour to Sunday. From up here, it looks like a stage floating on top of the water. Behind it, the backdrop of rum is lit up, making every crack and crevice visible, setting the scene for a theatre of weather to play out. The curtains have not yet risen, and Sunday waits in the shade. But slowly, the clouds begin to move, making patterns on the stage below, before giving way to sunshine and pushing the shade across the water to rum. A boat has come into the harbour. I wonder what it looked like from there. What would it be like to create a piece of theatre for here, to choreograph something for these different stages of land, to sing across the water and bring attention to the sounds hidden within this landscape? How could we take our audience on a magical journey that fosters a deep connection with our natural and cultural origins? These musings are cut short, as suddenly Susie and I realise that we're due to meet Jeff at the Gillabridge restaurant in a few minutes. We walk down to the restaurant, which faces out onto the harbour, and see the boat again, this time from sea level. As the only deep harbour in the small isles, it's long been a welcoming spot for sailing boats, and once was where small fishing boats would take shelter. I wonder how many fishing boats still come here. At the restaurant, I choose the rabbit pie. Or to be more precise, it is local wild rabbit pot puff pie with real cider and apricots. Later I find out that it is affectionately known as Rough Puff Bunny, and it's very good. Also on the menu is wild rabbit pate and wild rabbit burger. I hope to spend some time talking to the couple who run Gillabridge about their experience of living on Canna. I wonder what brought them here, and how they find running the only restaurant on the island. We finish our meal and step outside to see Rum's peaks now glowing red in the setting light. We say goodnight to Jeff, and then Susie and I walk back through the woods to our adopted home, satisfied and ready for new adventures tomorrow.